If it's too late to worry and you're too blue to cry, then get ready for Dr. Lori Roth. She's a PhD, black belt, host, singer, songwriter, mom, gun owner, survivor, and a red-blooded American through and through. From 3,000 feet up in the mountains of Washington, it's the Annie Oakley of the airwaves. Ready or not, here she comes, Dr. Lori Roth.
We've had quite a lot going on in the news, folks. Our president just had apparently a vision from on high. Maybe some asteroids hit him or some angels swooped in on him. But he went from marriage between a man and a woman to declaring that he was supportive of marriage between gay folks. What do you think about that? We have Dr. Carl Bezzio of the Lighthouse Network. He has joined us, and he deals in this area, and he will help us answer the question, is homosexuality normal? What about conversion therapy? There's pushes in California to make it even illegal to even think for a second about trying to shift a homosexual's viewpoint towards heterosexual. Evil, how do you define marriage? We know now how our president does. Dr. Carl Bezzio, how in the world are you doing? Welcome aboard.
Hey, great to be here. Excited to be on the show.
Thank you. Back at you. You have quite an interesting and unique background, biomedical engineering. You went to medical school. You're a psychiatrist. You've worked with all kinds of folks in counseling and ministry and here and abroad. We have a lot of homosexuals around the world and certainly in this country. But they're certainly a minority, and this has become so political. And with this president, he was against gay marriage, and now he says he's for gay marriage. How do you view this chain of events?
Well, you know, it really is astounding, especially whenever he invokes that the more he knows about Jesus and wants to emulate Jesus, the more he feels that gay marriage is the right thing to do. And I think it's a common mistake that people make when looking at Jesus and just assuming that love always means giving people what they want or saying yes to whatever their demands are. But sometimes no is really the loving response. And we see Jesus many times said no in the temple whenever he's throwing, you know, tables and chairs around. And when he tells the woman to go and sin no more, or when he tells the rich young prince, hey, look, you got to give up everything, not just a little bit, but everything, I knew the prince was going to go away not peaceful, but love doesn't mean always just giving in, and we know that very well with our kids. But when we have fellow adults asking to do something dysfunctional, it's amazing how society sort of crumbles and wants to do the nice thing and thinks saying yes is always doing the nice thing, but yes is often a harmful thing.
So Obama has actually come out and said, I didn't hear that, but I'm sure that sounds like something he would say. The more he knows Jesus, the more he believes that gay marriage is what Jesus would want.
Yeah, that, you know, Jesus is loving. He's caring. He would, you know, he would be tolerant. He would be more effusive of a person's, you know, heart and wanting to know where his heart is and just wanting to help that person grow. And certainly Jesus is all about those things, but all about doing them the right way, because that's what, you know, the Bible is the instruction book about how to live our life, how to really renew our mind and see our brain chemistry, you know, actually change in powerful ways when we do the right thing. I mean, our maker, just like anybody who manufactures or makes anything, says, if you want to get the most out of this, use my instruction manual. And so God, as our creator, knows exactly how we're going to function the best, how we're going to get the most out of life, the most peace, joy, fulfillment, passion, engagement, value in life, and purpose. And says, here, do it this way. And so the Bible speaks very clearly, and Jesus speaks very clearly about what marriage is. Marriage is a man and a wife. It's not two men. It's not two women. It's a man and a wife for very specific reasons of coming together as one, but also leading a family, being role models for a family, and being that model of what relationship is so kids can see that.
Hold on. We'll be right back with Dr. Carl Bezzio of the Lighthouse Network. We're talking about homosexuality, gay marriage, what the president has said he supports now.
You're attracted to And, you know, it's, the contradictions are, you know, just astounding.
Yeah.
It's about that, you know, that non-tolerance.
Talk with psychiatrist Dr. Carl Bezio. Doctor, I have you for another segment, and I'm all for freedom of speech, and I understand there's Christians, non-Christians, there's people of all persuasions in this country, gay, straight, whatever. and people have the right to pursue what they see fit for themselves or convert without being attacked to another faith, unlike with Sharia or Islam. In Islamic countries, you better not convert to Christianity or you're dead or stoned. Mm-hmm. But you were telling me about the betrayal of freedoms in California and other states, it seems, where a person isn't even allowed to do conversion therapy. Let's say they're gay and they want to become heterosexual and they are feeling led to change, or they feel like it's wrong lifestyle. Well, they have a right to pursue that track if they want to in America. It's their choice. But if they go to certain therapists for help or clinicians or ministers for help, there's people fighting that right for a minister to even help or a counselor to even help or a gay person to even change. Describe what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, there's, for many years, homosexual behavior was described as aberrant or pathologic or a disease, and it was in the early 70s where it started to get removed from medical books as an illness and continue to get gradual acceptance. So there's been so much effort to try to prove that homosexuality is something you're born with, and there is no science. There is no culture that looks at it as normal. There is no science that's been found that this is the way you're born or that it's genetic, whether it's with twin studies or whether it's path analysis or, you know, whatever different standards we have to look at science. Just not looking at the Bible. I mean, the Bible is my standard, but even if you just look at, I don't believe the Bible, I'm just looking at science, there is no science that looks at homosexuality as normal. In fact, all the science points to homosexuality being a learned behavior. It just happens so early in our life. It's sort of like Pavlov's dogs. You know, Pavlov's dogs, they weren't born to salivate at a bell, but through some learned therapy, they start to salivate at a bell. They do it so quick, you would swear it was a reflex, so that's the way God wired them to do that. And that's the way homosexuals think, wow, it happened so early in my life where it's just such a reflexive thing for me. I must have been born this way. And so there's been a lot of reparative therapy or conversion therapy over the years that have helped people with that early learned behavior and dysfunction in their life to be able to convert from homosexuality to heterosexuality and lead great, full heterosexual lives. But because of the anti-Christian sentiment, I believe, and the tolerance of our society to just be hedonistic and allow people to pursue whatever hedonistic pursuits and impulses that they have, they're starting to outlaw. There was a bill in front of California this week. I'm not sure how it turned out, but there was a bill to outlaw people that wanted to go and change their sexual orientation. It would prohibit them from getting that therapy. It would prohibit the therapist from practicing that and might bring on sanctions on their license if they were to practice that. It would even prohibit pastoral counselors, which up until this point, you know, according to the First Amendment, we have the freedom to exercise our faith. And so pastoral counselors would usually be free to work with somebody who had set this goal of, I want to be free from this bondage, free of this distortion, free of this dysfunction. This law would prohibit pastoral counselors from the ability to practice their faith in helping somebody, giving somebody the cure for something that they're struggling with and they want to break free of. And it's just amazing to me how our society and even our medical society, our laws will allow somebody to pursue an abortion or pursue surgeries to change their sexual, physical body, but won't allow them to pursue something that they want to pursue in changing their sexual orientation. This law will prohibit that. In England, there were sanctions against a therapist, and her license was taken away because she helped somebody change from a homosexual lifestyle to a heterosexual lifestyle. So this is really impinging, and if it falls in California, it'll be a model that'll sweep the country, similar to physician-assisted suicide and some other issues about science and faith. And people wanting to block the Christian or the biblical way of doing things, it's starting, you know, over the last 10 years, our that slippery slope in our country, especially legally, is really starting to falter.
Well, you make some very good points that you can change your sex to another entire sex. You can do all kinds of changing. You can have abortions at any way. I mean, you don't have to tell your mommy and daddy in some schools. Oh, it's their private business to sneak out and do it. There is so much change and controversial change that people can do in society. But if you want to change your desires and be, for your own reasons, whether they're religious or otherwise, you want to stop feeling a certain way or being attracted a certain way, there are some people that think you don't have the right to do that. That's
well,
incredible.
It seems like you have the right to pursue impulses, and people have you pursue impulses. But if you want to fall into biblical guidelines of functioning, it seems like that's where the laws and that's where certain agendas start to interfere. So they'll let you change to do almost anything else you want other than pursue biblically consistent principles of life management. And it's just, you know, I think that's the power of the spiritual warfare that's going on in our world, in our society, that we're not just fighting against, you know, flesh and blood. We're fighting against something incredibly powerful that has warped people's thinking so much to think that everything else is right, except for the, you know, this cool book. I mean, I have many psychiatric textbooks sitting on my shelf and books about therapy and the human condition and where it goes wrong and how it gets short-circuited. But there is no book as accurate as the Bible. As I've learned in my personal life and as I've worked to develop addiction programs and get people help around the country and around the world in Iraq and in Africa, that book, the Bible, is the best textbook. It describes where we go astray and how we repair that, how we really reconcile back to God and start to lead that godly life. And it seems like any pursuits of that we have, there's various different factions that want to interfere just with Jesus, with God, and the love and grace that God wants to extend us to heal our bodies, to heal our minds, to heal our souls. For some reason, somebody wants to keep that away, and that's got to be a satanic process that's going on.
So if somebody's listening and they feel very trapped, but they also know better and they know what right and wrong is, but they feel like they're behaving naturally, but there's a conflict, what do they do? How can they get help?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say, hey, you know, we love you. You know, we care for you. More importantly, God loves you. You know, regardless of, you know, we know in our heart that these things are wrong, you know. But sometimes it's hard to face God. It's hard to feel that God loves you and God wants to extend grace. But he certainly does. He certainly does. And we as Christians, we want to love. Even though we look at the behavior and we judge the behavior and we know that the behavior is wrong, we want to help in that situation. We want to come alongside and help you remove those stumbling blocks from you so you can enjoy the peace and the love and the hope that God has for you. And there's various different places that have this restorative therapy, have this conversion therapy. And if you call our helpline, 877-562-2565, we can help direct you to counselors around the country that can help work on this. And if it's become more of a significant issue, and there's usually addictions that are involved, and whether that's sexual addictions or pornography or other issues with substances and alcohol to help soothe or comfort or escape from the pain of living in that bondage, we can help you look for Christian and medical, psychological, faith-based programs. They can really help you take one step at a time in that path of moving towards freedom and helping you through the storm in your life.
Are you seeing, for real, people get out of that and be at peace and enjoy their life?
Oh, I've seen a number of people that have become transformed, and and they come from a myriad of, you know, some that have been homosexual throughout what they feel their whole life, and then in their 20s, 30s, or 40s start to want to change and then go through a change process. Some were, you know, heterosexual for a while, then developed some homosexual behaviors even after they were married, and then after divorce and after a chaotic separation from family and kids, they wanted to change, and they were able to change even at that point. So some people, whether it's early in their life or later in their life, again, these learned behaviors are wired in there at a certain time, so they don't change overnight. But for somebody with intention, with purpose, with goal, and to get the right supports around them to continue to grow their relationship with God, to seek that forgiveness in God, to seek God's grace and instruction, and just let the love of God wash over you. But then how do I apply those biblical principles psychologically to heal the wounds and the hurts and the distortions in your life. I've seen many people just had restored lives, reconciled to God, reconciled back to their family, their parents, in just profound, powerful ways. And there's ministries around the country that are very helpful and very skilled at bringing hope, encouragement, and then not just giving you a pep talk, but then leading you through the steps of, you know, it's good to say, hey, let's go score more points than the other team and give a great pep talk, but unless you got some skills, you're still going to get, you know, beat on that in that game. So not only do they give a good pep talk, bring hope, encouragement, say, hey, this is how we're going to start walking in this process step by step to help you get on that path to freedom and living a godly life.
Yeah, you know, I've talked with many, many people in my life that were stuck in that lifestyle, and most all of them that I can think of had, you could track, they were had a experience with incest or rape or abuse, or like the lesbians that I knew of in college had abusive husbands before, and then they morphed into lesbianism. And you can almost, it's not a simple formula for everyone, but you could track pain, rejection, loss. And a lot of the people that didn't feel anything different or hadn't changed later in life really did have major betrayals before they were 2 and 3 and 4, and they didn't even remember, except that they'd had that and this is all they grew up knowing. And, you know, you would think in science that would also weigh, even if a person's not a Christian, you would think that people would look at all this as saying, wait a second, there are some precursors that have trapped a person into thinking something that's not real.
Well, I think people don't want to take responsibility sometimes. You know, and they don't want to take a responsibility when they're doing something wrong. So it's easy to say it's somebody else's fault, or this is just the way I'm born, and I don't have any control over it, so therefore it's not wrong, and I can pursue it however I want. But just like you said, you know, it usually comes down to some common factors. Either there is issues with the nurturing from the mother, or there is difficulty in connection or affirmation from the father, or many houses just a father's absent in the process, or there is issues in that dynamic between mother and father, and usually many fathers are absent. They want the perks of kingship, but they don't want the responsibility, so the mother becomes a lot more dominant in those relationships. And then, like you said, a lot of times there's just inappropriate physical and sexual activity that happens, whether it's incest, whether it's a rape, sexual abuse, domestic violence, or those kind of things, or exposure to pornography or hyperstimulation of genital organs at an early age. There's some other sexual or physical element that goes with those, you know, parent dynamics.
Well, and also, for even without the abuse, our society has become so into media perversion and forcing that and pushing that in our schools and in our movies and in our literature. You can barely walk into a grocery store without seeing it, and you've got breasts in your face and everything else, and people having sex, and you go to a hotel, and there's temptation everywhere. So even if a person isn't in that lifestyle, they can easily taste it, can't they? If they're curious, maybe if they're lonely, they just kind of wonder. And it's like a drug. It's a rebellious kind of drug that a person can find themselves stuck in and redefine reality, can't you?
Well, like you said, on our website, we have a lot of resources and free videos and stuff about change, emotions, transformation. But like you said, it's pain. You know, we all have pain in various different aspects in our life, and some have developed good biblical coping mechanisms to soothe that pain and bring biblical God's peace, God's love, God's comfort in. I mean, the Bible is the best book about pain. But most people, unfortunately, they try to escape or soothe or self-medicate through sexuality, things that are just physical now, whether it's food, whether it's sexuality, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol. And like you said, we're just so hypersexualized. I mean, almost every commercial, almost every ad.
Oh, it's over the top. Can you give out your website one more time, please?
LighthouseNetwork.org. A lot of free resources, great elements there, curriculum to be able to help walk out of pain and lead godly lives and be a godly decision maker.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for coming on board. God bless.